You're listening to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello, welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, and from one acronym straight to another, EFRA. That's the acronym of the Select Committee, which is important to farmers and food producers. The Environment, Food and Rural Affairs Committee is the topic for this podcast. And before you shout out, what's that got to do with me? Or worse, let me ask you to pause and stick with us. As a levy payer, the work of the EFRA Committee is relevant. And so too is the liaison AHDB does on your behalf to inform discussions and decisions made by the committee. Select committees are an important part of examining the work of government, and they work in both the Lords and the Commons. Put simply, they check and report on areas of government departments, such as spending, policies, and administration. The results of their inquiries are made public, and many require response from the government. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening. In a few moments, we will hear from the chair of the EFRA committee, MP Neil Parish, and from AHDB's Sarah Baker. Both have got a tale to tell, albeit from different sides of the table. Neil Parish is the MP for Tiverton and Honiton, which I think you would agree is a beautiful part of the West Country and an area that's very closely connected to farming and agriculture. In fact, before entering politics, Neil was a farmer, and during his time in our parliament and prior to that in the European Parliament, he has actively been involved with flood prevention, air quality and many other issues, including taking a keen interest in animal health and welfare. Neil has kindly agreed to tell us about the work of select committees and how AHDB and the committee liaise. Neil, thank you for sparing the time to join us. You were elected by fellow MPs to chair this committee, but importantly, this aspect of your work is not about party politics, is it?
No, the EFRA Select Committee is made up of, you know, members of all parties, and we very much scrutinise what government does. We scrutinise new policy coming from DEFRA in particular, and we also take a lot of evidence from AHDB on that's trade agreements, on future ELMs, environmental land management, the effects of it. All of this is incorporated really in the scrutiny. Then we have ministers before us. We use the evidence we've gained and we put questions directly back to the Secretary of State, George Eustace. It might be Victoria Prentice, the farming minister, sometimes the Rebecca Powe, the environment minister. So all of those things are there.
So you mentioned that you're looking at free trade agreements. How important to the committee is the evidence that you get from AHDB?
Well, you take this morning, we had a panel of three, and Sarah Baker was one of the panellists who was able to provide us with statistics and evidence on the impacts of trade agreements, on where perhaps there could be some positive sides to actually further exports, but also the issue of how is that trade agreement going to affect the day-to-day farming production, farming good food, keeping up good animal welfare standards as we do these trade deals. So all of this is very important.
So you publish the evidence that you obtain, not just from AHDB, but from other sources as well. Just help us understand the outcomes, if you would. What difference does it all make? Have you got an example where you could explain to our listeners the benefit of getting involved with the committee?
It's a slow burn with select committees, but it does work. You put detailed analysis together, detailed evidence together, you present it to government, and then you ask government to change policy, adapt policy. Sometimes they do it immediately, sometimes they say no and they never do it. Lots of the times they do embrace quite a lot of what we put in the report, and probably in fairness to ministers and civil servants within the ministry, they don't necessarily have the time to look into such detail on possibly perhaps quite a narrow part of policy. But I think that's where the select committees do a good job.
Now, as a former farmer and as an MP, you've known AHDB for a while. I wonder what you think about the analysis work and the tools that are produced by AHDB, many of which help farmers examine the costs of production and help them make informed business decisions. I wonder, what's your view about that work, and is that really an asset to industry?
I think what AHDB does in analysis and production methods and production costs, and where we could actually, you know, save costs on production, improve the health and well-being of our livestock, is important, and is going to be more important as we go forward. Because with trade deals, with the new agriculture policies, there is going to be more competition within food and farming, and that is where AHDB does and can increasingly deliver very good analysis. Also, you know, talking about genetics, talking about perhaps a genome editing later on as we move forward, all of that can make farming more competitive, hopefully more animal welfare friendly and environmentally friendly, especially as we move towards crops that are disease resistant. So, you know, and livestock, which we can perhaps edit out some of the genes that are actually causing diseases, endemic disease within the herds and within the flock. So lots of work that will be good ongoing, and a very good link between the farming sector, AHDB, and the fact that the farmers pay levies for AHDB. So I think it works well.
Farmers are being invited at the moment to have their say about the future work of AHDB through a campaign that is known as Shape the Future. I wonder how important you think it is for farmers to get involved and register in order to have their say about the future of AHDB.
I can't emphasize enough that farmers should register and fill this survey that will actually determine the future direction of AHDB, because I very often hear farmers complain, well, we pay the levy, what do we get for our money? And so, you know, now's your chance, because good research, wealth worth doing, good food promotion, and as we go into exports, AHDB does a lot of work on exports, but can AHDB do more? Can we put more people out in the field across the world? All of that, you know, you can actually have your say in this online survey. So make sure you do, please, because don't come to me afterwards and complain. Do it now. That's my, you know, direct response to you.
Neil Parish, MP, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's go now to our second guest, Sarah Baker. Sarah is an economist and works with the AHDB Strategic Insight Team, and as we have heard, produces evidence and market insight. Sarah, thanks for joining us. I imagine there's a fine line between giving evidence and lobbying, isn't there?
Yes, there is, and we have to be very acutely aware of that line. I think the select committees know us well enough as a regular contributor to understand that we don't lobby, we don't comment directly on government policy. But what we do, and what we do very well, is we can provide the evidence that demonstrates the impact of those policies from an impartial evidence base. That's incredibly powerful.
Can you give us an example? Can you share with us something where you know, you feel that the evidence has been important to sort of turn the tide?
So I think this morning is a good case in point. So we were talking about the Australian trade deal, and we were able to give evidence directly from our impact assessment using the model that is an innovative approach. We've taken a sort of step away from your partial equilibrium, general equilibrium, traditional modelling, and we've looked at a network model, which really gets under the skin, if you like, of agricultural markets in understanding that they're not perfect competition, that there is power of intermediaries, there's size of markets, there's the power of the big retailers that will influence those trade flows. It's not all about cost of production. It's not all about, you know, basic prices. And those modelling results presented to the committee give a very well-rounded, as I say, impartial view of the short-term impacts. And what we caveat it with is the full report, which is available on our website, which explains what modelling is and what modelling isn't. So it's not a forecast, and it's assuming that other things remain equal. So we also examine the fact that if geopolitical relations got a little bit frosty between Australia and China, and if that particular pattern of trade were to shift, then that would have a knock on UK markets. So it's a really good rounded analysis to provide the Select Committee with, that they can then go back during this ratification process, highlight the areas that maybe need a little bit of attention.
Now, as you've said, we're recording this sort of straight after you've been in front of a Select Committee this morning. But this is not the first time you've given evidence, is it? I wonder, can you tell us when you've given evidence previously?
Yes, certainly. It should be a regular contributor, not just me, but across the MI team and wider HDB contribute to Select Committees on a regular basis. Our reason for existence is to support our levy payers and provide them with impartial advice. But the positive spin-off is that we can also inform policy. And in these times of more collaborative policy making, in particular in ELMS, and which are an England only policy, but in the environmental schemes going forward with the devolved nations, we do, and I have presented to the Scottish Affairs Select Committee and the Northern Ireland Affairs Select Committee, as well as EFRA in the past. And our evidence does then inform their debates, and the direction of travel feeds into their policy making.
So we could be challenged by listeners and levy payers who say, you know, really, what's the point? You know, is it about just challenging, or do you really think it does bring balance to the debate?
I think it really does bring balance to the debate. And I think that's reflected in the frequency with which we get asked back. It's very clear that our evidence will come from an impartial, empirical, data-driven place. Although other stakeholders are involved and their point of view is incredibly important, it's understood that they are lobbyists for the industry, whereas we provide the evidence to the industry in order to ensure that they can make informed decisions. But as I say, we do the same then for policy. So I really do think it makes a difference. Yes. And it's highly regarded because of that. We don't have the angle, if you like. We're not putting a spin on our evidence. It is what it is. And it's very clear and transparent. And I think that's what gives it the power and the impact that it has at these levels.
So today you were talking about the impact of free trade agreements and the relationships that may or may not be in place with countries like Australia, New Zealand and the USA. And clearly this is independent analysis that's done by AHDB. But I just wonder that if AHDB wasn't doing this work, who would be doing it?
Well, impact assessments are undertaken by government. And as I say, they take a slightly different approach. They will use a general equilibrium model. Two reasons why we do them. First is that the full results of the modelling, when they're undertaken by government, aren't always in the public domain. And therefore, our levy payers can't access those and can't react accordingly. So we do the impact assessment primarily for our levy payers to inform them. Secondly, the reason we adopt a slightly different approach is because we don't want to repeat the work that has already been done by government. We don't want to just repeat the DEFRA work. The more angles that you can look at this from and the more different approaches, if you can reach a consensus and you know that your results are broadly in line and any differences can be explained by the underlying assumptions within the model, then it adds credibility to the work and it provides an even sounder evidence base. And I think, again, that was shown repeatedly through our Brexit analysis, where we did repeatedly get called to Select Committees and we triangulated our impact assessment with work from Wageningen, with work from Newcastle University and with DEFRA's own impact assessments and with work from AFBI in Northern Ireland. And we came to this broadly similar conclusions, which really does reinforce the fact that it's sound, accurate, impartial advice that we're giving. the fact that several academics working independently in different areas come to similar conclusions means that you are most certainly on the right track and your results have even more strength.
So if levy payers want to read the reports that that are produced by you and your colleagues, how do they access them?
So there's a report on the US trade deal and the Australia trade deal already available on the AHDB website. The Australia trade deal is the first time that we liaised with Harper Adams and involved the quantitative, the modelling aspect of the work. We're currently working on the New Zealand trade deal, and that work will be available late spring, again on the website. And next in our sights will be the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership, CPTPP. That is an opportunity for UK producers, this hugely expanding middle class in that region that is really going to dominate global trade over the next decade and beyond. And it's really important that we have our sights on that, we understand that market, and we see where the opportunities are at this stage so that we can maximise that opportunity.
It's also quite an acronym to end on. Sarah Baker, thank you very much indeed for joining us. If you've got any comments that you'd like to make about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. AHDB want to hear from you. Thank you to my guests, Neil Parish MP and Sarah Baker from AHDB. This podcast was produced by Gemma Pammant. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.
Spring 2022 is your opportunity to vote to have your say about the future direction of AHDB. For more information, you can email shapethefuture@ahdb.org.uk or visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk.